Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
There are few words that have the power to grab your attention like the word new. If you hear that there's a new song out by one of your favorite musical artists, that word new will grab your attention. If you hear that there's a new book by a favorite author or a new episode of your favorite TV show about to air, the word new will get to you, right? It'll grab your ears. I heard this past week that Oreo Cookie is putting out a bunch of new flavors this summer, and I was way more excited about that than I should have been. New is a powerful, powerful word. In our gospel reading for this morning, we hear Jesus tell his disciples that he gives them a new commandment. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Now, on the surface of things, it doesn't really seem like this commandment is really that new at all. We can go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, to the book of Deuteronomy. And there it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. We can all go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, to the book of Leviticus, where it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The commandment to love God and to love our neighbors, are some of the oldest commandments we have in the Bible. So why does Jesus call his commandment to love one another? Why does he say that's a new commandment? Well, it's new in two ways. The love that Jesus' followers are to have for each other is both a new shape, and it comes from a new source. What is to be the shape of this love Jesus is calling his followers to have for each other? Well, it's to be shaped like Jesus. It's to be shaped like his love for us. It's to be shaped like the cross. Jesus uses a specific New Testament word for this kind of love. It's the word agape. It's a Greek word. And this kind of love is more than just sentiment. It is more than just an emotion or a feeling. It is a love that is not based on attraction or compatibility. This kind of love that Jesus is talking about is not a noun. It is a verb. Jesus is not telling his disciples to be in love with each other. He's calling them to act lovingly towards each other. And so this agape, this Jesus-shaped love, is to be embodied in acts of service. It's to be embodied in acts of sacrifice, lived out sacrificially. This love is to be steadfast, bearing with the other even when it's hard. Jesus powerfully illustrated this kind of love just before giving the disciples this new commandment by Jesus kneeling down and he washes his disciples' feet. One of the lowliest jobs anyone in the ancient world can do. It was usually done by a slave. But Jesus lowered himself down and washed his disciples' feet. Even though Jesus had rank on all of them, he was their teacher, he was their Lord. Not to mention the fact that he's the Son of God and the King of all creation. Even so, Jesus set aside his status, his rank, in order to serve his beloved disciples. Jesus sacrificed his status. He sacrificed his power in order to tenderly wash their dirtiest parts. Jesus also loved his disciples with a love that was steadfast. Jesus did all this for his disciples, knowing that one of them would betray him, another one would deny him, and eventually all of them would abandon him. This is what makes this commandment new. The shape of the love we are to have for one another is to be shaped like Jesus, like his love for us. One of the rookie mistakes I made here as pastor at Oak Harbor Lutheran Church, the first couple years I was here, Veterans Day was coming up, and so I encouraged the members of our congregation who were veterans or active duty to wear their uniforms to worship on the Sunday of Veterans Day weekend. So I made that announcement a couple times. I put it in the newsletter. I put it in the bulletin. I thought it would be a great way to celebrate the vocation of so many in our congregation, in our community. We have officers, enlisted, retired, all kinds of them in our congregation. So I thought it would be a good way to lift them up and honor their important vocations. Well, that Sunday rolled around, Veterans Day weekend, when I've encouraged everybody to wear their uniforms, and almost nobody wore their uniforms to church. There were a couple people who did. There were a couple people who wore their VFW hats, which was great. But very, very few, almost no one, wore their uniforms to worship. And I talked to a couple people afterwards, and a couple of them sheepishly said, well, I haven't been able to fit into my uniform for a long time. So I understand that. But I had a more in-depth conversation with a naval officer who has since become a dear friend. And he said that, well, for me and maybe for others, I was reluctant to wear my uniform to worship because sometimes there's an uneasy distance between officers and enlisted. And I didn't want that unease to be in church. He said, uniforms indicate rank. And he said, at church, there should be no rank. I really miss that guy, Mike Higgins, become a dear friend of mine. This is someone who really understands what this Jesus-shaped love is all about. He understands what this agape love looks like. Now, ranks are crucial in their place. Those ranks are utterly essential for the proper functioning of a unit. But here in Christian community, there are no ranks. There are different offices with different responsibilities, of course, but here in the Christian community, there are no ranks. Only people serving one another in humility and love. Christian community is to be marked above all else by this Jesus-shaped love. St. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. He says, even though I might have prophetic powers, even though I might have all knowledge and faith such to move mountains, if I have all that but I don't have love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. St. Paul goes on to say, I might have the ability to give away all my possessions so that I could boast, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. This is a passage from 1 Corinthians that's often read at weddings, which is fine. It's good. It applies to that, I suppose. But Paul's not writing to a husband and wife. He's not writing to a bride and groom. He's writing to a congregation. He's writing these words to the church. He's saying that a congregation might have the best programs. It might have the most balanced budget. It might have great music. But if there's no love, we are nothing more than noise in God's ears. Who cares if a choir sings beautifully if they don't love one another and pray for each other? Which I'm proud to say these folks do. Paul is saying that you can have the best theology, you can have the best social ministry, you can have the most beautiful building, but if there's no love, you are nothing. Who cares how beautiful the sanctuary is if the people inside it are ugly to one another? There are many things that are important in the life of a congregation, but what we have to offer the world more than anything else is this new Jesus-shaped love. At a time when there's so much anger and vitriol and division in our culture, we can show the world a community where people are loved regardless of their differences in age or race or education level or income level or political party. When there are differences over complex political questions, we can show the world a love that is patient and kind and humble, and a love that seeks understanding. We can disagree with each other without hating each other or calling other people haters because they don't think the same way that you do. At a time when love is seen as a commodity, as something you go out to find in order to benefit yourself, we can show the world a love that humbly serves others. At a time when love is primarily understood as something sentimental, we can show the world a love that is sacrificial. At a time when love is understood as this amorphous, abstract idea that can be anything anybody wants it to be, we can show the world a love that is shaped by Jesus' obedience to the will of the Father. At a time when love is often understood to be conditional or even transactional, I will love you as long as you perform a certain way, as long as you meet my needs, as long as you make me feel a certain way. We can show the world that is steadfast, sticking with each other through thick and thin. We will never do this perfectly. Anybody that spent any time around the church knows that that's the case. I certainly don't do it perfectly. But this place, church, is where we strive to live out this Jesus-shaped love. It's here that we come together to practice at it. It's here that we come together to try to practice it so that we can then take it into our homes and into our families and into our community and into our world. People will know you are my disciples, Jesus says, if you have love for one another. On our own, we would never even begin to have this kind of love for each other. But this commandment Jesus gives us is not just new in shape, it is also new in its source. We are not only called to live out Jesus' love, we're also called to live in Jesus' love. As I have loved you, Jesus says, so you are to love each other. Do you know what this means? It means that Jesus' love comes first. Just as Jesus stooped down to wash the feet of his disciples, even the one who betrayed him, even the one who he knew was going to deny him, even though he knew they were all going to abandon him, in the same way, so too does Jesus stoop down to serve us. He has come into our worlds to forgive us. He's come to wash our dirtiest parts, to wipe our slate clean, to forgive our sin. The Almighty and everlasting God came to us in human flesh and stooped down so that he might be our Savior. He went to the cross to bear our failures. He went to the cross to take all of our lack of love for him and for each other. He took all of that lack of love and he absorbed it in his own body on the cross. And in his resurrection, Jesus started the work of the new creation. He started to make us new people. In his love and his grace and his mercy, he brings that to us new every day. Every day he comes to move our hearts once again to begin, at least, to love each other as he loves us. In our reading from Revelation, we hear about some new things as well. We hear about the new heaven and the new earth. We hear that promise that God is bringing a new heaven and a new earth. And in this new heaven and this new earth, God says, I will make my home among mortals. I will be with them, and they will be my peoples. Death will be no more, God says. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Clearly, that day is not here yet. But God has already begun to dwell among his people. God has come to us through his Son to show us the shape of his love for us. And God continues to come to us through the Spirit, through the Word, through the sacraments, to be the source of that love in our lives, so that it might flow through us and into the lives of others. In following Jesus' new commandments, we give the world a glimpse of that new heaven and new earth that God has promised. We give the world a sneak preview of what God has in store for us when he comes at last to make all things new. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing together our hymn of the day.